First of all, let's talk about the history at Lagavulin with the 200th anniversary of this year and what it means for this distillery to have reached the 200-year milestone.
Well, I think it's, Mark, a really remarkable thing for any sort of business to have lasted 200 years. I think today most businesses, when they're established, are lucky if they last 6 or 7 years, you know. In the 19th century, it was a lot shorter. So for a distillery that that pre-existed its foundation date of 1816, but we know sort of became a legal entity in 1816, for it to have lasted for 200 years is a pretty remarkable thing. And I think in particular, for it to have lasted for 200 years with such a well-established reputation for outstanding quality is one of the things. And that's one of the things we're going to be celebrating in this anniversary, I think.
And it really made its reputation with the visit from Alfred Barnard back in 1887 that really sort of spread the reputation of Lagavulin around, right?
Well, that's what we thought, and I'll maybe say a bit more about that in a moment. But what we discovered in doing some research on Lagavulin leading up to the anniversary, we were quite surprised to discover that Lagavulin was extensively mentioned in popular literature way back to the 1850s and 60s, which is really quite unusual, because you're talking about a Victorian era where people were normally quite reticent to talk about alcohol at all. And certainly it's not a period when people were getting brand names dropped around. But there are two authors in particular, William Brown, who's a British author, and a man called Sylvanus Cobb, who was an American author, who referenced Lagavulin frequently when they wrote stories or novels or novellas set in Scotland. And these stories and novellas were serialized in newspapers, both in the UK and, we know, in New Zealand and Australia. So I think Lagavulin's reputation was really well set before Alfred Barnard went there in 1887. And of course, one of the things that Barnard made very clear then, and he repeated when he visited early in the 20th century, was that Lagavulin was almost alone of single malts at the time for being well known and consumed as a single malt, rather than being a single malt that was made principally for use in blending. And we know that that reputation continued under the management of Peter Mackey in the 20th century, when Lagavulin, certainly for a period up to the First World War, was very widely available. And you could seriously use the word, which we were discussing earlier, marketed as a single malt as well. But when Barnard visited Lagavulin, he did his normal tour. And then at the end of the tour, he was given a taste of the whiskey. He tasted an 8-year-old Lagavulin, which, of course, remember, at the time was actually quite old. Whiskies were considered to be venerable once they got to about 6 years old in the 19th century. So 8 was doing pretty well. And he declared that whiskey to be exceptionally fine. So our mission with this anniversary bottling was to find an exceptionally fine 8-year-old liquid, which we thought Barnard would quite like if he were to be back here tasting it again today.
And to the Lagavulin purist, the thought of an 8-year-old Lagavulin today, given that the standard bottling is 16 years old and many of the special releases are 12, the thought of an 8-year-old is going to go have some Lagavulin purists going, huh? But in this case, you've come up with something unusual, right?
Well, two things, Mark. First of all, an Islay whiskey purist should actually know that young Islay whiskies can be absolutely beautiful, and the best Kalila I've ever tasted has been about 6 years old,
right,
and really was just a sensational whiskey. So I think all the Islay distilleries are known for producing great young whiskies as well as great old whiskies. I think one of the things about the 8-year old, to an extent, we talk about distillery character quite a lot. I know it's a phrase that some people don't like, but you know, the distillery character is the DNA of the whiskey as it comes off the still. And I think at 8 years old, you've got a huge amount of Lagavulin DNA in the bottle or in the glass. And frankly, maybe when it's 16 years old, you've lost a bit of that DNA because the wood's done some lovely things to it and given it that richness that we all know and love in the 16-year-old. This doesn't have the richness, but it has sweetness. It's got a wonderful mouthfeel, and it's got great mature character, even though it's, you know, only 8 years old.
But by way of explaining myself a little more clearly, if you're doing a 200th anniversary bottling, the typical Lagavulin fan would say, let's look at what other distilleries have done, and they're releasing much older whiskeys to celebrate that anniversary, and you're going the exact opposite way with this one, but part of that was to make it somewhat more accessible, right?
Yeah, so I don't think Lagavulin ever looks at it over its shoulder at what other people do. That's the first thing I'd say. And the second thing is very much to your point, Mark. We wanted the anniversary to be something that could be celebrated by as many people as possible. So quite a lot of the things that we're going to be doing over the sort of 9 months that we have of this year will be designed about trying to get people either literally to Lagavulin or virtually to Lagavulin. So we want to bring people to our home, and that's part of the celebration. It's very important, I think, that everyone experiences what a, even by Islay standards, what a very special, a very, very special place Lagavulin is. Yeah. So we want to do that, but we also wanted to have a liquid that people could get access to as well, rather than feeling they were being priced out of the market. So this one, wherever it is in the world, will always be priced below the 16-year-old. The exact detail will depend on sort of market conditions. In the US, it's probably going to be around $64 a bottle. It's 48% ABV, so I think that no one can really complain about a limited edition 8-year-old Lagavulin. 48% at that price, I think it's a great price. And as you know, because you've just tasted it, it's a really rather special Lagavulin as well.
And the DNA on this is ex-bourbon casks almost exclusively, right?
Yeah, there's no European oak influence here at all. It leaves it a very clean whiskey, a very sweet whiskey. There's very strong smoke on the nose, but the taste is beautifully balanced. And as we were saying, you know, sweet crystallized fruit sort of sweetness at the start, then some nice mature characters, some oranges maybe in there. You were saying baked oranges, I know. And then a wonderful sort of Lagavulin smoke-filled finish. So it's a fantastic drink, it really is.
Now, what can you tell us about what's going to be happening at the distillery and elsewhere to celebrate the anniversary that at least is publicly available? We know about the Phage, obviously, at the end of May. We know about the Jazz Festival, the Lagavulin Jazz Festival held every September on the island. What can you tell us about what the distillery is going to be doing, since there will be a lot of people on the island this year?
Well, so obviously, I mean, just going back to the Phage, it's a very, very special event for everyone at the distillery. So we will be having a much more intense program than we normally have, if that's possible, because I know the guys will be exhausted after they've had their week, with a whole series of very special events and one very big celebration in the middle of the festival week as well. And the details of that will be announced very shortly when tickets go on sale. We'll be doing some work at the distillery to mark the anniversary. I don't know if you recall, Mark, there's a nice grassy area which people love to sit on looking out over the castle, which is technically not an accessible area because of reasons of traffic movement and stuff like that. So we're actually building a special garden there with some covered space as well. And we'll be having an access point that people can get onto that and actually enjoy the wonderful view out over the bay and Dunavig Castle. And then there'll be a series, obviously, of in-market events as well. Our brand ambassador, Donald Colville, will be traveling very widely, I think, promoting Lagavulin and talking about the 8-year-old. And we'll also be having, a number of things that we'll be doing, which will be all focused on trying to get people who can't literally travel to Lagavulin to get them there one way or another. And there'll be more on that later.
And this year's Phage events, obviously it's going to go past just the one day, which is the opening day of the Phage, with the Lagavulin's open day traditionally kicks it off on that Saturday of the festive week, but you're actually going to extend and do things during the week then also.
That's right. So Saturday 21st is the Lagavulin only day, as it were, opening day of the festival. And it also happens to be World Whiskey Day this year, so for what that's worth. Clearly, there is a protocol on the island that you don't tread on other people's toes as they have their own day celebrations. But that does leave space. We've always done sort of warehouse demonstrations through the weeks and special tastings. And we'll have a number of special evening events as well, so which we haven't done necessarily in the past.
And then this one big event that you mentioned.
Yeah, that would be in the middle of the week. So
obviously, there's going to be a Phage bottling. Can you say anything about it yet?
Well, I can because I was tasting it only a couple of weeks ago. So it's very, very nice. As most of the Phage bottlings recently have been, it's got a fairly strong European oak influence, unlike the 8-year-old, which has none of that. So I think face regulars will not be disappointed by it. And we're also just working on the liquid for the Jazz Festival bottling as well.
And both of those will only be available at the distillery?
As in previous years, only available at the distillery. And this year, I will say, because we think there'll be more people around and a lot of interest in it, we'll be doing a slightly larger quantity of the festival bottling than we would normally do.
But the 8-year-old will be the only official anniversary bottling in wide release, at least as of right now.
That's absolutely correct, yeah. And it should be coming onto the market at the distillery in late March or very early April, mid-April into the UK and Europe, and then we hope it will be in the US by June.
And we won't see anything else later in the year?
I can't comment on anything for later in the year, Mark.
Didn't think you could, but I had to ask. But I assume that this year's special release in the special releases series might also be somewhat interesting or more interesting than usual as well.
No, actually, in the special releases, we're just going to have the regular Lagavulin 12-year-old special release. So there won't be a Lagavulin as part of the special release series.
How much fun do you expect this to be for people when they come to visit the distillery or visit online and see the website this year? What are you going to do to make it different and make it unique for people?
Well, I think, you know, if you're a Lagavulin fan, the thing about this distillery and this whiskey is the great sense of place that it has. And I don't believe that anyone who's ever visited can leave without Lagavulin having taken over a little bit of their heart, you know. So what we want to do is broaden that experience of Lagavulin, because many people never get to the island. They might love the whiskey, they might not know the whiskey actually, but they never get to the island. So we want to try and go out and steal a bit of people's hearts all over the world for Lagavulin and make sure that after the anniversary, that special affection for the distillery and the whiskey and the people that work there remains.